Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, they promoted yesterday, when I first saw it, that there was going to be a 2 p.m. press conference that was going to involve Kash Patel and President Trump. So we're monitoring for that when that happens, assuming it happens anywhere near the 2 p.m. hour, which they initially promoted it, that then we will have it for you. Until then, we will continue on doing the Annie Fry show. But I am curious to see what they are going to say. There are reports that suggest that they're going to give an update on the crime crackdown that's taking place across the country. We just spoke with Senator Eric Schmidt, and he gave us a lot of helpful nuggets as to what St. Louis is getting out of the FBI, out of the department. The influx of FBI, did he say it was the largest influx of agents that they were sending?
Per capita.
Yeah, he did. And I think he said, did he put a number on it? Was it 500? That's rolling around in my head. That there were, that he was adding a number of officers. Now, I could be misquoting him.
I don't remember the specific number. But I mean, still, we spoke about this a little bit off air, but it's so refreshing to hear. Senator Schmidt is incredibly good at what he does. But it seems like it's because he's still focused on what he's supposed to be doing there.
Yes.
Whereas you see a lot of other... the people who you see, I think it matters that he's in the media a lot. You know, there are
he's good at it too.
Very good at it. He's good at delivering a concise message and cutting straight to the point. And we're grateful to have him on here. But the other thing that I asked him about was the left wing violence thing. I am very cautious about how I talk about it. I think it's easy. I will say I've heard a lot of people who have the privilege to do what I do, which is to speak behind a microphone and kind of have a captive audience, use it as a way to like own the libs. I'm allergic to that. I think it's so unproductive. Like if I look at my job is to come on here in a room that currently has three other people sitting in it, and then I'm like going to try to own all the libs, like, ooh, that's big, bad, scary Annie trying to, you know, put the libs in their place. When I do think that there are specific people and specific areas that do need to be identified and called out when it comes to violent rhetoric and actual violence that is materialized out of far left thinking. But how do you parse between that group of people, which is a small group of people, where you might have a lot more members of a particular voting bloc that wouldn't. I actually hear more from people in my life who are on the left that they hate what happened to Charlie Kirk and that they're very dismayed about that current political climate. And there's no time when I hear from somebody on the left that where they talk about something like that where I'm like, the libs suck. Like, I don't feel like that's a productive way to address the situation and tone down the temperature.
Can I just say that that's great that you're saying that? I haven't had those conversations. It doesn't mean they're not out there. But the fact that people have come to you and said, if they're on the left especially, I mean, I'm saying that in particular, that they come to you and say, look, we're all against this. And I don't know if they're speaking for all the left or their family or whatever, but if they're saying that, that needs to be reported.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I've had people who are moderate. I feel like they feel compelled to say it. Like, people on the right obviously think what happened to Charlie Kirk was terrible. You don't really have to say that. But people on the left, I can tell that those people do feel like they have not like an American patriotic responsibility to say it out into the ethos, but to say it to me. That they feel, because of their personal connection to me, they want me to know that they don't agree with that. But that's a one-to-one thing. And in my private life, that means so much to me.
Yeah.
But I don't really see that on the national stage. That's the problem.
That's what I was going to say, is that I'm glad that we're reporting it, because if you turned on centrist, left-leaning, whatever you want to call it, media, after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there was a quote-unquote kind of like blanket, we condemn violence, but then it's on both sides.
Barack Obama said, we don't know what caused this.
Yes,
but
that
it's
too.
Bad.
That too. But it was very much about, yes, but let's look at the cause of this. It could be any, it's everybody, it's all both sides. That was the narrative. Instead of saying, this is bad, political violence is bad. It was always, but let me make a political point in saying that too.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that you have people coming to you.
Yeah.
And maybe Brad too. I just haven't had anybody particularly come to me and say it.
Did you cut all the Democrats out of your life?
I did, because I dislike them personally. No, I'm just kidding. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I just haven't had those conversations.
Yeah. I have had them. And I appreciate them. And it means more to me that it's a personal thing, like it's a text message, or if I see them. I don't really want it to be a public... I'm not going to control what other people are going to say to me, but when it's a personal message or a personal conversation, that feels real to me. Anything that's being done kind of for the public to consume as well feels like a statement, like a press release, you know? Which, on a personal level, that would be fine too. I wish it were more simple for people on the left that have microphones and cameras and social media followings to be like, it should go without saying, but apparently it doesn't. We don't support this. This is wrong. If my political beliefs on certain policies coincide with any of this particular shooter or any of the other ones, in no way, shape, or form do we coincide on this behavior, and it needs to be condemned.
There is a sense in what you're saying that actually reminds me a lot of what DeRoy was saying, DeRoy Murdoch at 1 o'clock, that there are a lot of people, and he was saying, no, where'd the moderates go, basically? Where'd the moderate Democrats go? There are a lot of moderate Democrats out there that probably do believe in bigger government just as a rule. That's their thing. And they believe in social progressivism in some ways, but not others. But that party does not reflect those people at all anymore.
Mm-mm.
The far left, it would be the media, the money, the extremist candidates, they are getting all the attention and running the party.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you fix that right now.
The moderates just have to have a louder voice, which is really how the Republican Party changed. The people in the Republican Party who weren't of the George W. Bush variety or the Mitt Romney variety, the John McCain variety, there just had to be more of them. And as more people speak up, you're like, oh my gosh, that's what I think. And then more people speak up. Yesterday we did X's and Y's. You weren't here. Trish is in studio with us right now, and I wanted to touch base on this conversation again. We were doing X's and Y's on Tuesday at 2:30 is when we traditionally do that. And it's just basically where we ask questions. Trisha comes in and we speak for all women. Would you say?
That's absolutely.
Kind of, we've
just
been
across the board.
We asked for permission,
yep.
And they were like, yeah,
granted.
We trust you. Yep. And then the men sent Brad and Ryan.
Yep.
But
yep.
You weren't here yesterday. So
sometimes I speak for women as well.
Yeah. That's a different segment. speaking of mansplaining, one of the topics that came up yesterday, what was the first question Was it a Brad question?
It was a listener question.
You asked a question for somebody, and it was what?
It was, do women appreciate when men do gentlemanly things like holding the door?
Yep. Yes. How do you feel about... Why are you smiling so much?
Because that was a question on my list to ask in the future.
Okay. Well, you can cross it off now.
Okay.
Or you can answer it right now. We, Trish and I both were like, please open the door for us. Yeah. That's a nice thing for nice people to do.
Do it.
Have you ever had a negative experience with holding... do you hold the door open for women?
I hold the door open for pretty much anybody. So I don't know if that's where the conversation went, but it's just a courteous thing to do. And you know what? It's acknowledging that the person's there.
Yeah.
They don't need you to hold the
door. It's a selfless thing.
It's just you saying, hi, I see that you're there. I'm not going to close the door on you.
In our building, it's really awkward because 1, 2, 3, 4 doors before you're actually into the office, like close to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's awkward. There are some
like
that you can open
maze.
With like stretching out one arm and a leg.
Yeah. So you can open the door for someone, and then there's the question of like, okay, do I need to get the next door? It's kind of strange.
Sometimes
but
you get caught in the back and forth where you do one, they do one, you do one, they do one.
You're like that.
Oh, is it my turn or your turn? You're
real
ducking
friendly.
Under arms.
I like that.
So we were talking about the door opening thing. Have you ever held the door open for somebody and had a woman and been chastised for your toxic masculinity?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever been accused of being toxically masculine?
I hope so. But you know what?
What did my poster say?
Excessively masculine. That's still up on my mantle, by the way.
Your wife didn't take it?
She has not taken it down.
Can you tell that story real quick of putting it up and how long it took for her?
Absolutely. So
first of all, what it is.
Yeah, you got me, Annie got me for my birthday a poster that's got my face in it somehow, probably through AI.
Yes.
And it looks like an old West kind of advertisement for a cologne called Johnny Donkins, which I made up
somehow
a while back on the show somehow. And it says Johnny Donkins excessively masculine. It's got me in an old Western vest holding a pistol.
I think you have an ascot.
Probably.
And your Colorado Rockies hat.
And my hat. So I look somewhat modern.
Yeah.
And it's a funny poster. And so it's a full-size poster. And I came inside one day when she was like in her bedroom or something like that and put that on the mantle.
It's large.
And then didn't say anything and just was going to wait and see how long it took. And it took probably 3 or 4 hours of her walking by. Now, she may have not gone right into that room. But she walked by it several times and she didn't notice it. And that was almost a month ago.
When she saw it, what did she do?
She said, what? No. But she didn't realize it was my face right
away. She just
though.
Thought it was a
she
random.
She thought it was just some random old West poster that I was like, well, I fell in love with that at an auction or something, you know? Like, I'm bringing that home.
That was one of your finds.
Yeah.
So we were talking about... just like gentlemanly things that men do, but it morphed into a conversation on mansplaining. And before I ask you about you, I asked Brad and Ethan if they mansplain. What do you think?
Let me explain mansplaining real quick. That was a joke. You can go on.
You suck at it.
I think I just did it.
I don't think you did. You didn't explain anything.
It's when a man knows a little bit more than he should about a certain topic, and he wants to let everybody know. He wants to help out. At the core, what he's trying to do is help.
That is exactly what Brad said.
So here's a question for you. Do you think Ethan said he does or has mansplained?
Oh, 100% that he has.
You think Ethan was like, I'm a mansplainer?
Yes.
What about Brad?
Brad would say that he does, but he would say it with some contrition.
But Ethan would say it with vigor.
Yes.
That's not what happened.
Really?
I think Ethan said he might have, but he wouldn't have known he was doing it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I don't even know if Ethan really knows what it is. He said he might have done it in high school.
And I go, you can't mansplain when you're not a full-blown man.
Yeah, you can't.
You're just an arrogant teenager who thinks you know
annoying.
Everything. Have you ever mansplained?
I think I do it probably to my wife about certain topics.
How does she handle it? Can you tell?
She
wait, here's a question.
Listens.
Here's a question that I asked Brad. If you engage in mansplaining, I would assume there is a certain type of person who might understand that they're mansplaining before they start, but I would assume that if it's happening, there is a point where you either A, never know you're doing it, or B, you get into it and you're like, oh,
That's me, number two.
So
I'm a big number two.
Yeah, you are.
So if you're mansplaining to your wife, does she ever stop you?
She never stops me, but there's a reaction.
What's it look like?
That I can tell, oh man, she's gone into, okay, I'll just listen because I know you're not going to stop mode. And then I just stop just to see what she does.
And what'd she do?
She's satisfied because what she did without saying anything worked. So then we're just caught in this moment where nobody's saying anything. And we just sit there and sometimes we fill it with popcorn.
How would you define mansplaining?
As I said before, it would be explaining something that you think you know a lot about or that somebody else, you have a better knowledge about it than the person you're talking to. And so you need to explain it. And the need probably arises from your own ego more than anything. That's how I would explain it.
New question for the room when we come back, if Trisha can stay around.
Sure.
Is there such thing as woman-splaining? So simmer on that. We'll answer that question when we return. We're also waiting to see if the Kash Patel Donald Trump presser is going to take place. If it does, we will bring it to you. So keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Love me, but that
was yesterday. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy. There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are waiting to see if we're looking. Everything we can tell is that this press conference with Kash Patel, it's supposed to be at the White House in the Oval Office with President Trump, scheduled at 2. Lots of places caring that it's going to start soon, but we are watching and waiting and hoping to bring that to you when it starts. In the meantime, we were talking yesterday in X's and Y's, our segment where we talk about the differences across genders, of which there are two, about mansplaining. I want to ask you boys if there is such thing as womansplaining.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to take it first?
Brad does.
Okay, I guess I'll go first. Womansplaining. I think it's the same thing. It's just that the gender roles are reversed, and it's probably about something that a woman would think a guy wouldn't understand. So, I don't know, like how to talk to somebody, how to present. You know, like you're going to this event, you need to be like this, kind of thing.
Like, don't wear that sweater.
Yeah,
yeah, that would probably be a good
be helpful.
It'd be not bad advice, but
which I did to you, but it was after we were at the event and you were wearing the sweater.
Ooh. And it was a shocking sweater.
It was a Bill Cosby sweater. It was...
So I took it off right then. And then I dealt with the ramifications of walking around shirtless in an event the rest of the night.
I think I walked in with you and I was like, oh, we're not together.
Don't know.
I don't remember that.
What's woman-splaining? Is it a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's when a woman, usually something that is more female-oriented like that, like, oh, you should look this way for this event. That's a good example. Something that a woman is probably more prone to be better at. It really is kind of the reverse. It's mm-hmm. just topically different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Brad kind of nailed it. It's the same thing, but about different topics.
I think in order for mansplaining to actually occur, there has to be a... I don't know, Trisha, if you would agree, if it's like a gender... Like, if it's... A man has to assume that a woman wouldn't know about it. Here's another question that we asked yesterday. Can a man mansplain to a man?
No, that's just called explaining.
if a dude is explaining something to another dude, and dude number two, which is you, as we've established,
always number
I'm a big
two.
Number two.
You're big, the two. Big number two. If you already understand,
call building management.
What if you already understand what the other man is explaining to you? Do you just say something, or do you let him go?
Depends on what it is. I would say more often than not, you let them go and let them learn, because learning from experience is better.
Let them learn what?
Well, it really depends on what it is. If you're like, you know, you should probably not walk on train tracks. That's something you say. If they're just learning how to fix a shelf or something, you go, just let them do it. Figure it out.
Wait, but you're saying you shouldn't be mansplaining. What if you find yourself in a situation where somebody's mansplaining to you?
That's not mansplaining if it's two guys.
Explaining. You're saying mansplaining cannot occur between men.
But you're getting an explanation for something that you didn't ask about.
And already know about.
And
that's just... Okay, I'm going to say a term here and I'm making it up. But that's called Cliff Clavening. And everybody of a certain generation is going to know exactly what I mean.
It's somebody
who walks in and they just know something or a lot about everything. Mm-hmm. That's usually that person. And everybody knows that that person's that way. And it might be annoying, but you just kind of let it happen. Usually, it's rare that somebody who isn't like that will go about over-explaining something to you unless it just happens to be their topic of expertise.
Because they can read the situation socially.
Yeah.
Joe says woman-splaining is answering one simple question for 11 minutes.
All right, Joe. Easy, Joe. Come on.
Chris says men don't get butt hurt over it. Kevin says woman-splaining, quote, when I told you to pick whichever you like, I didn't think you'd pick that one.
That's fair. I thought when I started this conversation, I thought, nah, women don't do that. But I do that. I'm like, why are you wearing that? Here are six things you should be wearing.
It almost feels like woman-splaining is saying something but meaning something completely different. And men potentially being in trouble for not interpreting the thing that you said not being the thing that you meant.
Yeah, I don't care. I do care. It's okay. It's not okay. I'm not hungry. I'm starving. Figure it out.
Here's another question, and it's going to be an uncomfortable one because I am somebody, at least professionally, who does this. I work very hard to be very direct in intent so that interpretation isn't what needs to be thought through. Like, if I need something, I'm going to tell you what that thing is that I need. If I am dealing with it, then I'm dealing with it. But in your relationship lives, so, you know, the women you deal with, but specifically your spouses or whatever, do you really want a woman to be as direct as a man? Because I know men will be like, what does she mean? Like, you're trying to interpret it. But would it be better, Trisha, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if women said... Like, you told a story once where you were like, I don't know, something like you were sitting on the couch and you're like, gosh, I could really use a glass of milk. And then milk appears from your husband. Because what you were saying is, honey, could you please get me a glass of milk? I don't want to get up from here. I want you to get up from here to go to the fridge in the kitchen and bring milks to me so that I don't have to do it. But instead of just asking for it, you say that and then he does his chivalrous thing.
flirty thing we do. He loves it.
Yeah, where he does the things for you that you don't want to do for yourself.
Uh-huh.
He probably loves that.
He thinks it's great. Yeah.
Ooh, sarcasm detected.
No.
No?
Certainly not.
What is it?
Detected
what
in
is
that.
What did you say your wife says when she wants ice cream or something? This is a thing. I know this is a thing.
It happens over and over. I mean, it just happened last night.
We're talking about ice cream, right?
No. No, she usually it's turning a light off when she's already in bed or something like that. She doesn't want to get up. Or getting a glass of milk or a glass of water or putting something back in the dishwasher. It's always the same voice. And it's always, Ryan, help me, help me, help.
I love her.
And you love it.
It's so funny. Last night, it had become such a thing that I was walking to turn off the light and she started yelling it. Help me! And I was like, I'm already doing it. She's like, I know. It's funny.
Help me means there's something that needs to be done and I don't want to have to do it myself.
Uh-huh.
And it could be anything.
It really could
be anything.
It's
fun that you guys made a joke of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's always, though, her not wanting to get up.
Yeah, that's 100% it.
I'll do the thing where I'll sit there on the couch and I'll be like, I'm going to go wash those bottles. I'm going to go flip the laundry. And I'll say it like it's something I'm dreading. And then, like, I just wait it out.
Do you want women to just come? Even if this is playful. She's doing that because it's playful, mm-hmm. and she knows that you don't mind doing it. And if you minded, you would probably say so, but that would turn the thing on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want women in your life, if they're upset, or I don't know if they're upset, but if in the little conversations where women may not be super direct, would you prefer that they were actually really direct with you?
Yes, to some extent. In those conversations, yes. A lot of other times, no.
I think men think that they want directness more than they actually do.
Well, the thing is, the help me thing, that is direct. I mean, mm-hmm. she's just yelling out, help me, and pointing at something. How could you be more direct? So
yeah, in its own way.
I like it. There are times, though, that digging through... Here's the thing. I think, at least with my wife, and I don't know if it's women in general like this or not, a lot of times she's not sure exactly what she's wanting. She's processing it as she's talking. So I don't know that she could be that direct because she's figuring it out as she's saying it. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I also think that there's a list of, and Annie's talked about this before, of 47 different tasks in a row that are going through at least my head at any given time. And I want my husband's help with a number of them. And then sometimes I have to like slow play them or it overwhelms him. Like I'll be able to do 1, 2, 3. I need him for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And if I start being direct and saying, I need you to do 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, he'd be like, okay, calm down. So I have to be like, I'm going to do this. And maybe in a little bit we can do this. And then when we get to the next thing, I like talk him into the next thing. There's like kind of a process you have to, there's a little bit of a game you have to play to keep everybody calm.
Chris comments, woman wouldn't call it woman-splaining. They would call it men listening or lack thereof, which is pretty funny. Brad, you're somebody who says that you really like directness. And I don't know if men really want women to be 100% direct all the time.
I don't want to try to figure out what it is you want. I don't want you playing games with, like, I want you to want to know what I want kind of thing. So, like, if you...
That's a big thing for women.
You know, like Ryan was saying, Katie's like, help me, and points to the light switch. That, you could be fun with it, that's fine. You don't have to say, but just kind of like, if you want ice cream, say you want ice cream. Don't, like... I guess the frustration is at the end of the day, when you're if we're driving past an ice cream joint and my wife would be like, oh, you know what? I really love chocolate, you know, pecan ice cream or something like that. And she's saying, I want ice cream. What I want to give her is ice cream. But I need to know, hey, I actually want ice cream. Because there are sometimes when she'll say that and it won't mean I want ice cream. So
this is something that I don't know if other women can control. I can't control it. I want you to want the same things I want. And if you don't show the same level of enthusiasm for those things, then I feel like my level of enthusiasm for them is somehow less. and shouldn't be. So if I say, I love chocolate ice cream, and Eddie's like, okay, good for you. I'm like, well, he must not care about the ice cream that I want. There's like this, and it's not, I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, I need you to be on board with eating this entire pizza with me. I don't want to do it myself. I need some validation.
But if
here.
You said, let's eat this entire pizza, I'd be like, all right, let's do it. But my thing is like this. If we're driving by, I'm thinking about where we're going and what we got going on next and, you know, whatever needs to take place then. And to change gear, because guys, I don't know, Ryan, if you're like this or not, but thinking is in boxes and you're like, oh, we're talking about ice cream now. You got to put the box that you had out about driving and pull the ice cream box out then to switch to that. To be able to jump to that is really hard. And guys aren't trying to be mean. We just miss stuff like that. And it's frustrating then because.
But it's okay to have to put in a little effort.
Effort's kind of overrated.
Yeah, I mean, I like the effort. It would be easier, back to Ryan's point. Sometimes I just don't know what I want. So I'll say something and I can't.
So?
I'll throw it out halfway and I want you to help me finish that. But I just need a little help here. I need a lift. Do we want the ice cream? Tell me if I want the ice cream.
Yeah, my wife will do this. We'll be sitting on the couch. She's like, man, I wish I had ice cream. And I'll look at her and I go, do you want ice cream? And then she'll stop and she'll think about it for like.
No, she wants you to want ice cream and you to go get ice cream. So she go, okay, I'll have some too.
Yeah, so she doesn't have
to feel. That's super obvious.
So she doesn't have to feel guilty that you're going out of your way to get the ice cream for just her. Like it
shouldn't
has
that
to
make
be
you
like
feel
a,
special.
I don't know. Like I
you don't get to. No, that's not what it's about. Yeah. She doesn't want to eat ice cream by herself. She's just gonna. Women don't want to do that.
Yeah, we never want to eat ice cream by ourselves. We don't want to eat dessert by ourselves, and we don't want. To eat that whole entire pizza
by ourselves.
You don't want to
eat a cheeseburger while he's eating a salad?
Right.
So, like, if you know that your husband doesn't like ice cream, you're still going to use that
get yourself a tray of brownies.
Yes, doesn't matter. Learn how to eat ice cream, yes, in that event.
We're having dessert. Figure it out.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, maybe this press conference is going to start. They've got the feed up and ready to go, but it hasn't started yet. Scheduled to start at 2:00. And we are sitting around waiting for the president and Kash Patel to hold their joint press conference from the Oval Office. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building
a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome back. The press conference with Kash Patel and Donald Trump from the Oval Office has just begun. Let's listen in to what they have to say, what the announcement is about.
Never looked so nice. We're getting great compliments, and you see outside how that's come out. It's been great. We make a lot of improvements to the White House, and we're doing that. One of the things you should be looking at is the Palm Court, because that's been totally redone. So we like to preserve and make better the White House, and that's really what's happened, and we're getting tremendous reviews, and we appreciate it. But we're here for a different reason. It's called Operation Summer Heat, which is an appropriate term in light of what we're doing. And early yesterday morning, I returned from the Middle East, where we celebrated a historic agreement to end years of suffering and conflict. Amazing. Every country came together. I mean, even the enemies came out and totally endorsed it. Everybody, I've never seen anything like it. Nobody's seen anything like it. And just as we are forging peace and stability abroad, we're also restoring peace and safety and stability at home. And you see that in Washington, D.C., maybe better than any place, because we got there, and within 12 days, it was very good. And within 30 days, it's been as safe as any city in the country. It's been great. Took out 1,700 people, got them out. These are career criminals in many cases, and people that shouldn't have been allowed in by the Biden administration. Historically, the summer months have been a time when violent crime soar, as you know, but not under President Trump. Today, we're announcing the results of a sweeping law enforcement effort known as Operation Summer Heat. We were in many cities that people didn't know about. We kept it a little quiet, and it had a big impact, and you'll hear that in a second. But over the past few months, FBI offices in all 50 states made crushing violent crime a top enforcement priority. That's what they did, rounding up and arresting thousands of the most violent and dangerous criminals. And these are among the most dangerous and violent people in the world. They were allowed in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, they were allowed in by a very foolish, actually stupid, open border policy. Just anybody could have come in. They emptied out their jails, their prisons, their mental institutions. They emptied them into our country. And the people behind me have done an incredible job, because if we didn't have that administration, it would have been so much easier. They allowed millions of people in this country that shouldn't have been allowed, including over 11,000 murderers, half of whom murdered more than one person. And many of them are gone now, or they're put in prison, because we don't want to have them come back. So we literally put them in our prison, which we don't want to do. But we bring them back to their countries. Working with state and local partners, the FBI arrested over 8,000 violent criminals during the course of this period in major cities like in New Orleans, Nashville. We saw a 250% increase in arrests. We got and we really went after the bad ones. These include 725 individuals wanted for violent crimes against children and murderers. These arrests are in addition to the work of our historic federal task forces that make D.C. Safe Task Force has been unbelievable. I mean, the job they've done, it's incredible. And it's been so nice, because so many people, they're going out to dinner and they're having dinners. They didn't go out for 4 years. And now they're going out 3 times a week. Restaurants are opening. Restaurants are full. And usually that means a lot of good things. But restaurants that were closed are now opening up. And everybody's happy. It's nobody's ever seen anything like it, actually. And everybody feels safe. You can have a child walk right through the middle of Washington, D.C., and nothing's going to happen. We were losing more than one person a week in Washington. They're being killed on an average of over one a week. The Make D.C. Safe Task Force has been incredible. And the Make Memphis Safe Task Force is having very similar results. It's much earlier, but we've been there for a week and a half, but I'm hearing the results are pretty incredible, and you'll hear about that. They're mobilizing more than 20 federal agencies for the largest law enforcement operation targeting violent criminals in American history. As a result of these efforts, violent crime declined nearly 20% nationwide compared to the same period last year, and it was the safest and most peaceful summer in 2 decades. And honestly, we haven't really even gotten going yet. If we didn't have to fight all of these radical left governors, we could have had Chicago taken care of, as an example. They had, in a short period of time, 4,000 murders in Chicago, and we have to listen to this man stand up and say that we're bad people. And the people of Chicago are walking around with MAGA hats. You have women, beautiful black women, walking around with MAGA hats, Please let the president in, and we don't care how he does it. They're not interested in National Guard or Army, Navy. Bring them in. Marines, bring in the Marines. They just want the crime to stop. And more so because of the success that we had in D.C. I think if we didn't have that success, nobody would even believe it. So I want to congratulate all of the incredible law enforcement professionals joining us today, especially Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's terrific, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who is a fantastic legal talent. He really is. He's a great guy, too. And, of course, FBI Director Kash Patel. They have worked so hard on this and other things. Since the start of the administration, the FBI has arrested over 23,000 violent criminals, more than double the number arrested in the final year of the Biden disaster. The FBI has also destroyed or severely disrupted more than 170 organized criminal enterprises and gangs, 1,600 of the most violent gangs, and confiscated over 6,000 illegal firearms. And they've tracked down and arrested four fugitives on the most wanted list, four of the most wanted. Actually, two of them were the most wanted fugitives in the world. There's still much more work to be done, which is why the FBI continues to work alongside the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of War to defend. And Pete Hegseth has been fantastic, by the way, on this, too, on other things, but on this, too. To defend law and order and combat violent crime, arrest illegal aliens, and make American cities the safest in the world. And when I campaigned, I talked about crime, but I never knew that we were going to get into it like we did. You know, I mean, I used to watch these cities with the murders. Chicago recently had one deal where they had 11 murders in one weekend, and they said, well, yeah, but it was a holiday weekend. They actually told me that was the reason, like it was okay because it was a holiday. It was Labor Day. These people are the worst. They are. They really have to. They better. I tell you what, the people in Chicago and the people in places like that, that can be fixed. At some point, it gets to where you can't fix it anymore. It's too far gone. And we have some cities like that. But these are great cities that can be fixed. I'm going to be strongly recommending, at the request of government officials, which is always nice, that you start looking at San Francisco. I think we can make San Francisco. There's one of our great cities 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now it's a mess. And we have great support in San Francisco, so I'd like to recommend that for inclusion, maybe in your next group. You'll get great support. Every American deserves to live in a community where they're not afraid of being mugged, murdered, robbed, raped, assaulted, or shot. And that's exactly what our administration is working to deliver. I didn't realize I was going to make this such a big factor in the administration. I didn't really campaign. I campaigned on crime, but I never thought we'd go into every city and take a really safe city that we've all been living with for years and make them safe. And now it's like a passion for me, and it's a passion for the people behind me. So I didn't get elected. I did get elected for crime, but I didn't get elected for what we're doing. This is many, many steps above. And I want to thank Stephen Miller, who's right back in the audience right there. I'd love to have him. I love watching him on television. I'd love to have him come up and explain his true feelings. But maybe not his truest feelings. That might be going a little bit too far. But Stephen, thank you for doing an unbelievable job. And the people of this country love you, I'll tell you. And they love what you say about crime and stopping crime. So now I'd like to ask Director Patel to say a few words, and then Pam and Todd also. And I just want to congratulate them. This is an amazing thing. And we're just at the start. We're going to go into other cities that we're not talking about purposely. We're getting ready to go in. And when they go in, like Cash is an example, told me that people didn't even know. 5 months ago, they went into Chicago, and they started doing a lot of work in Chicago. And we brought the numbers down a little bit, but that really was just preparatory work for what we're going to do with the surge. We're going to have a surge of strong, good people, patriots, and they're going to go in, they straighten it all out. So a lot of these cities we're already working on, but we don't do it with a big flavor. But in a little while, you're going to see some numbers that you're not going to believe. And I think you'll probably start with Memphis, because I'm hearing the numbers are much quicker than we even thought possible. Again, D.C. is, it speaks for itself. Chicago is going to be okay. We're going to save Chicago. And I told you, and I told them, a very respected man, the head of the Union Pacific, said, sir, save Chicago. It can be saved. And the way he said it, it was like, can you believe it? We're trying to save Chicago. But I understood exactly what he wants, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to save all of our cities, and we're going to make them essentially crime-free, like other countries have crime-free. If you go all over the world, you go to the world, you hear Afghanistan, and you hear all these different places. Our crime in certain cities is worse than anything they can even imagine, and we're not going to have that any longer. It's going to stop, and it stops right here. Cash, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I'd like to do is just highlight some of the outstanding work that the men and women of the FBI have been doing. And thanks to your brave leadership and the mandate you were given by the American people, not only defend the homeland, but crush violent crime, you tasked us with our great partners at the Department of Justice and the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General to start making arrests and bring prosecutions and safeguard our cities. And you said it. This is just the beginning. In just 7 months, I hope the media takes a look at every one of these charts, because these are the best numbers for fighting crime in U.S. history, and it's only 7 months in. And to do that, our vehicle to do it of choice was Operation Summer Heat, which the FBI architected to go after violent criminals. And in just a 3 month span, you had 8,700 arrests of violent criminals. You had 2,200 firearms seized off the streets permanently to safeguard our communities. You had 421 kilograms of fentanyl seized. Just to put that in perspective, that's enough to kill 55 million Americans alone. You had 45,000 kilograms of cocaine seized. And thanks to our Department of Justice partners, you had 2,100 indictments in 3 months from June to September alone. Mr. President, that in and of itself would be historic for a four-year presidency. You did that in 7 months because you let good cops be cops, and you partnered us with the right people, the Department of Justice, to put the handcuffs on and bring them to court and put them in prison. And if that weren't enough, when you look at the year, for the entire seven-month period that we're talking about here, if you look at the past 4 years of the Biden administration, 16,000, 17,000, 15,000, 15,000, that's the number of arrests year over year of violent felons in this country for the Biden administration. Mr. President, in 7 months, you have 28,600 arrests of violent felons in just 7 months alone because of your leadership and the dedication of the men and women at the FBI who want to go out there and do the job they were prevented from doing because that department used to be weaponized and politicized. And this is what happens when you take out the fangs of weaponization. This number is historic by every metric. 28,000 people have been arrested, violent felons alone. And then when you go over there and look at some of these charts, if you don't mind, I'll just hop over here.
So we're going to jump in here, and Cash Patel is from the inside the Oval Office with President Trump, and we'd carry more of it, but he walked away from the microphone right now. So the audio is going to be a little bit less savory for radio. But the idea here is that crime is going down, and law enforcement is been given the resources they need to do the job. And you've got a mandate from the American people who elected President Trump. I mean, he completely committed in the campaign that they were going to crack down on crime. And this is basically the receipts to what they've been able to do in 7 months. And they are certainly working towards their effort to make America safer. Anything stick out to you?
Just that this and immigration continue to be Trump's top issues that the American people fully support him on. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're highlighting the wins and saying this is just the beginning. That they're going to crush crime in the country is what they said.
The YouTube poll for today on the government shutdown that is still taking place. Who is managing the government shutdown the best? Congressional Democrats, Republicans, President Trump, or no one? Who's your vote? Who's handling it the best?
I still would say Trump.
Trump? Brad?
From the onset.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan here. Trump.
I'm actually going to say congressional Republicans is my vote because I think that their pressure has been consistent from day one. Open it up. Clean CR. There's no reason to not come to the table and have negotiations about what's going on right now. That's what we're trying to do. I think that they have not been heavily political. I think that they've been consistent in message. 41% of you also say congressional Republicans, but 30% or 36% said President Trump. 19% say no one's handling it well, and 4% say congressional Democrats are knocking the ball out of the park. Mark Reardon, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.